So this week is Parshas Vayikra, and I want to talk also a little bit about Pesach. But first, it occurred to me about the small aleph of Vayikra. There's a Gemara. The Gemara says, the Gemara in Shabbos, Amar B'shu ben Levi, B'sho she'ola Moshe la'moroim, when Moses went up on high, Motzel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shoyekoy Shekserim La'osius, he found God was tying the crowns to the letters. Omaloi, so God says, Moshe, Ein Sholem Be'iroch. So, what, where you come from, people don't say hello? Omalefonov, so Moshe answers God, Klum yesh eved shenoisin shulah l'rabbi. What business does a slave have asking his master, you know, how'd you do? That is, it's not appropriate. So the Gemara says, God says to Moshe, hoyelach la'azreini, you should have helped me. What does it mean? Rashi says, you should have blessed me, you know, be matzliach. Oh, so when Moshe heard this, he immediately said, Miyad omaloi ve'atu yigdano koyach Hashem kashe dibarta leimor. Now, let the power of God be magnified. As you've spoken, saying, kashe dibarta leimor, so the Gemara is picking up on the dibarta leimor. Could it have just said, Kashi Dibarta, as you said, let the power of God be great, as you said, but it's Kashi Dibarta Lema. It's like as though God is telling us to make his power great. So the next time Rashi says Miyad, when it says immediately, it means immediately the next time Moshe went up, he said, Atu Yigdal no Koyach Hashem. So it's a very strange Gemara, because Moshe goes up the mountain as a worshipper, and already he's going up the mountain after Matan Torah. And as we know from the Gemara Menachos, when Moshe sees God tying these letters, these crowns to the letters, he says, who's stopping you give me the Torah now? You know, Mima Akiv Al Yotcha, and God's response is Rabbi Akiva. But even before, in this Gemara and Shabbos, even before Moshe can say anything, so Moshe is standing there watching God, so to speak, tie these crowns to the letters. And in his silence, God takes offense. It's like, hello? Why are you standing there quietly? Why don't you say something? I mean, you come. The actual phrase that God uses is, Moshe, Ein Sholem Be'iroch. Is there no peace in your town? Meaning, is that the way that people are in your town? They don't say Shalom Aleichem? So, it's like, you've offended me. Why? What is the message? Obviously, God could have just said, Moshe, bless me. Like we find in the Gemara in Brochos, Rabbi Shmuel goes into the Churva, and God says, and he has the Shechina, he has this conversation, and God says, bless me. This isn't what is happening here, right? God's provoking Moshe. He's saying essentially, I'm capable of being hurt by you. You know, you forgot to say Shalom Aleichem, or you're not asking after my welfare. You're not interested in me. Why would What's the message? Why would God say such a thing, as though we really have a power to hurt or, you know, somehow hurt God's feelings, so to speak? It doesn't... obviously, you can't take this at its face value. So if it's not at its face value, what value is it? What Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, you know, he puts this dialogue into this moment where Moshe is unique in history. You know, he goes up into heaven to receive something from the hand of God. And at that moment, when he goes up, all anticipatory and, you know, in his role as our shliach and God's shliach, God decides to take offense. So, I was just thinking that the message is that doesn't matter what shlichus you're on, it doesn't matter what job you're doing, it doesn't matter what you're busy with, you really, even Moshe when he's going up the mountain to get the Torah, you have to understand the fragility of the nature of human interaction, that wherever there's a human interaction, there's a chance of misunderstanding. Wherever two people communicate in any way, with silence, with words, with giving and taking, with whatever it is, there's always chance that one will misinterpret the others. Moshe is coming as a knecht, as an eved. Moshe is a worshipper. He comes in total anticipation of being told what to do next. And instead of that happening, God says, "Hey, Moshe, you missed the cue." Well, and Moshe says, "What cue did I miss? I'm the eved here. I'm the worshipper here. I'm coming to you, God, waiting for you to tell me what to do next. You told me to come up. I'm here. Why are you, you know, why are you now saying I was there was something else I was supposed to do? I didn't know I was supposed to do. Where does there's no rule book here? Where's the book of rules?" And then God's saying, you know, klum ein shurim be'irach, you know, it's like, oh, where you come from, people are also rude. They don't greet one another. They don't ask after each other's welfare. Think, well, what's going on? There's some book of etiquette when you go to meet God that you read up on, you know, and then you know how to, where to sit, what to do, how to stand, what to greet, like there's some kind of rules. Elamai, it's Bechlal, not about Moshe, it's about us. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is taking this opportunity to like hijack this whole historical event to teach us something, which is a, you know, however careful you are, you never can be careful enough. And I think Pshat here in the Sedra, the Torah, the book of Leviticus, begins with the word Vayikra. And the Vayikra has a small aleph on the end. And we know that wherever one person calls another, if I'm calling you, it means not just that I want something from you, but the fact that I can call you is already a gift that you give me. I'm gifted in that I have somebody to call, and that not just somebody, but I can call you. So the Targum of Vekoro Ze El Ze, it talks about the angels, Vekoro Ze El Ze, and they call to one another. So the Targum says, Mekablin de min din, and they receive from one another. Calling to someone is already you receiving from them. So here, God calls Moshe. Calling, as soon as you call, you're receiving. So, again, God puts himself into the small aleph. So, for God to call someone, I mean, we always read this, that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't dare to come into the sanctuary unless he was called. And that's the standard reading. I want to say the other way around, that in calling to Moshe, the Rebbeinu Shelayim, the master of the universe, so to speak, makes himself vulnerable and small. And as though he says, Moshe, I need you. Please come into the Ohel Moed. And so writes himself into the small Aleph, which is on the end of the word. And again, the message is this same one that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is teaching. And I don't know, I don't remember whether last week we mentioned, but Parshas Vayakhel, and it's talking about Shabbos, it says, Vayakhel Moshe's Kaladas ben Yisroel v'yoyim aleim ela dvorim asher tziva Hashem la'aso yisoyisam. When it's talking about Shabbos, it says, these are the things that God commanded us to do. Sheshesim em ta'asim anocha. When he's finished talking about Shabbos, it says, v'yoyim Moshe Kaladas ben Yisroel le'imor, these are the things that God has commanded to say. And then it mentions the offerings from which the sanctuary, from which the Mishkan is built. So when it talks about Shabbos, it talks about doing. When it talks about the Mishkan, it's about saying. And it should really be the other way around. The Noiz Desha picks up on it. He says, how come when we're talking about Shabbos, which is all about not doing anything, then it talks about Shitziv Hashem Laos, as God commanded us to do. And when it's talking about the Mishkan, which is really all about action from beginning to end, it says, and these are the things that God commanded us saying. So Noiz Desha says that because Shabbos is the fixing of all melacha, it's all the fixing of all doing. So it says these are things that God commanded us to do. The Mishkan is the fixing of all the things we say. So therefore, it begins, and these are the things that God commanded us saying. So here, at the beginning of Vayikra, the book of Leviticus, now we're going to deal with all the karbonos, we're going to enumerate all the different sacrifices that were brought on a daily basis, on a weekly, individuals and for the community. I might have thought that it's all about action and deeds and stuff. It's not. It's about what you say. And here in this Medrash of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, this is what God is saying to Moshe. You know, what are you saying? Or what are you not saying? What are you withholding? As soon as Moshe realizes, so he starts to bless God with strength. And this, in a way, it's a stressing the importance of speech. And, you know, we've talked about how there are the different worlds, the world of archetypes, the world of creation, of formation, the world of action. And then the ultimate world of reality is the world of speech. Olam HaDibur is the final. And nothing is really happened until speech, until our words define it. Because even an action that I've done, I can qualify the action by saying, this was my kavana. So even if you see me doing something and you think to yourself, oh, what a terrible thing it is, I can then come a minute later, or an hour later, or even a year later, a lifetime later, and I can say, oh, you thought I was doing a bad thing, well, let me explain. and I give you an explanation of what my motive was and the subtext, and it changes the whole nature of the act. And you say to yourself, oh, it was a mitzvah, not an aver. So the action isn't the final word. The world of words is the final word. So Rabbi Gamliel hoya oimet, we say in the Haggadah, kol shloi omar shloisha dvorim elu bePesach, whoever hasn't said these things on Pesach, lo yotzo yedei chayvosoi, has not fulfilled his obligation. He's not out of his yotzo yedei chayvosoi. It's an interesting Talmudic phrase. We translate it normally as he hasn't fulfilled his obligation, but it's, you could also read it, he is still in debt. Yidei choy vosoy, there's a choyv. A person has a choyv, a debt, and he's still indebted so long as he hasn't said these words, Pesach Matzemor. So you have to say them with your mouth. It's interesting that in the Torah, Pesach is called Chag HaMatzos. Everywhere in the Torah it's called Chag HaMatzos. I don't think ever in the Torah it's called once Chag HaPesach. There's that a few times, and the child asks you, and you talk about the Pesach, Hashem Posach, but when it's talking about the Karbonos, and it's talking about the Sholosh Regolem, it's always Chag HaMatzos. We call it Pesach. So in Ishbitz they said, the reason is because Pesach, why Pesach? Asher posach Hashem al botei b'nei Yisrael, because God jumped over, he passed over. So the word posach means to jump over. The Targum translates posach chomal v'dolag, and Rashi brings that Targum. Chomal, meaning God had compassion, v'dolag, and skipped. That the Pesach, the Passover, is not just, it's not just a jumping over, it's a compassionate jumping over. There's chemlo. So, in Ishbitz they explain, in the Neues Deschen, that really we didn't deserve to be jumped over. And it was when Paroi, he was makshe. Paroi starts to ask questions. Paroi says, what's the difference between these and these? These are a bunch of pagans and these are a bunch of pagans. Why are you redeeming, if you're allowing the angel of death to be unleashed in Egypt, and there's no house in which there's no dead body, then why not these and why these? So even though we weren't deserving to be jumped over, God says, I'm not even looking at you, at your sins. I'm not looking at, I'm not making a cheshbon. There's no accounting here. I'm not going to check who's worthy, who's not worthy. That's it. I'm jumping over your house. So our appreciation of Pesach is that appreciation of, even though we're not deserving, God jumps over us and we are redeemed. Rabbi Shalalem says, look, I gave them this festival, and here they are thousands of years later, putting so much energy into making sure that there's not a scrap of chometz in the house. I said, don't have any chometz in the house, and look, there's no chometz police. and we have such complicated lives, such complicated kitchens. You go into a Jewish kitchen, it's hard to be masbir, to try and explain to somebody who doesn't keep kosher, like, what's going on even. It's so complex. And here, without complaining, the Yidden just, they get ready and they start, and you know, there's this minhag that you don't eat matzah. The Gemara says you don't eat matzah on Erev Pesach. But when I was growing up, it's like you don't eat matzah from Purim already. Where's the mokar? Where's the source of such a minhag, right? That you know, we have a custom that's in the Gemara of avoiding matzah on Erev Pesach, because to eat matzah on Erev Pesach is to kind of negate the whole flow of the narrative, and we take this and we run backwards. We run backwards, right? So we pick up the ball by the other guy's goal and we run back with it to our own goal, and we go back to Purim and we stop eating matzah. So Rabbeinu Shalom calls it, God calls it Chag HaMatzos, because he's trying to point out that we are deserving of the redemption, because look how many strictures and stringencies we take on ourselves in order to make Pesach. God calls it Chag HaMatzos, and we call it Chag HaPesach because we really know the truth. And the truth is, the truth is that it's all grace. So the Chacham asks, when he sees the Pesach, the lamb, and the matzah on the table, he says, "Mo edus v'achukim v'mishpotim." This is paradoxical. This is contradictory. On the one hand, you got the Pesach lamb on the table, which is, the message is Asher Posach, that we're completely undeserving. On the other hand, you've got the matzah. Why both? You either believe that it's grace, that God saved us, or you believe that there's some action that we take. But if you really believe that it's grace, why are you bothering even with matzah? The message of matzah is that you're taking care, and this is, oh, who are you kidding? Pesach is a gift. So our answer to him is Ein maftirim acha Pesach afikoymen. We don't eat anything after the Pesach. Once we've eaten the Pesach, we don't eat anything else. And Rashi says, in order to kedei sheyurgash hatam befiv, so that we can keep the taste of the carbon Pesach in our mouths. What does that mean? We were learning that the word tam doesn't just mean taste, it means reason. So in order to experience the real taste of the carbon Pesach, you have to really know the reason for the carbon Pesach. The taste of the carbon Pesach is the reason of the carbon Pesach. But the Rabbeinu Shalom knows that the taste of freedom, the taste of geula, the taste of salvation, there has to be another taste that goes with it. That the freedom that comes purely as a gift, it doesn't work. It doesn't taste good. That if God if you and I could suddenly feel that God takes away all our yetzer hara, all our evil desires, or all our desires, and we suddenly find ourselves with the freedom to choose only those things that we consider to be the right thing, and we didn't have any fight, we didn't have any bother, and we weren't in any way inconvenienced by those parts of ourselves that, you know, that really are ungoverned and so just want to go their own way. If we suddenly found ourselves free in that way, there wouldn't be any time, there wouldn't be any taste. If we didn't have this internal dialogue, or if the two halves of our brain were working in perfect harmony, and the two halves of the heart, and the two, if there was no duality in a sense, you know, if we suddenly found ourselves single-minded in what was right, we could do, and without any opposition inside, it would be completely tasteless. So we tell the Chacham, the Ribbono Shel Olam, in his wisdom, has commanded us the law of matzah. And even though inside me, you know, I can tell myself that everything is a gift from God, and that, you know, God is in charge, and HaKo B'Dei Shamayim HaFil Yiras Shamayim, everything is from heaven, even the fear of heaven. God says that, I'm telling you, is not going to taste. You won't have a taste of this. You'll only have a taste of freedom if it is leavened by this unleavened, if there's matzah that goes with it, if there's this self-constriction, this tzimtzum that you do. And it's interesting that moroir, we say moroir bizman hazeh es derabbanan, and that this bitterness, this savlonis, this having to carry some kind of a burden, is like an added, that this is not really in the original plan of putting matzah together with the Pesach, that the idea that there's somehow burdensome, that we have to carry some kind of a bitterness. This is an additional, this is something that the Chachamim have added. That not only is freedom tasteless without matzah, without some constriction, but also it's also tasteless without some bitterness. And so we have not just, Rabbi Gamliel says, it's not just Pesach and Matzah, but also Moroir. It's interesting that there are so many different ways of understanding freedom. The Neues Deutsche points out that Pesach, Matzah, and Moroir, that the last letters are Ches, He, Resh. And Ches, He, Resh are one of the 72 names of God. And the Tziruf, according to the Ari of how this name comes out, is from the Pesuk, Vihi Hashem li lemizgav velekeil tzu machsi. God is my shield and the rock of my salvation. And the Ishbitzer, the Meir Shiloich, he always used to tell people, this is the pasuk to say if you're ever in trouble. Vihi Hashem li lemizgav velekeil tzu machsi. That all Hatzolah, all Hagona, that whenever a person is in need of salvation, this is the pasuk to invoke. And this pasuk invokes Pesach, Matzah, and Moroir, and that these three things together are the real taste of freedom.